Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chavanarutamam Devim Saratim Vyasam Tatu Jayamudirayat. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, Text 34.
Sounds good. Had the right verse.
Tulayamano Lavinapi Na Swargam Napunar Bhavam Bhagavat Sange Sangasya Martyanam Kim Utashisha Tulayaman Lavinapi Naswargam Napunar Bhavam Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya Martyanam Kim Utashisha Tulya Linyama Navinapi Nisvargam Napunar Bhavam Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya Martyanam Kim Utashisha Tulayama Navinapi Nisvargam Napunar Bhavam Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya Martyanam Kim Utashisha Tulayama.
We capture
Lavena
with a moment.
Api,
even.
Na,
not.
Swargam,
attainment of the heavenly planets.
Na,
not.
Apunaha, bhavam,
merging into the Brahman effulgence.
Bhagavat,
of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Sangi,
with associates.
Sangasya,
of association.
Martyanam,
of persons who are destined to die.
Kimuta,
how much less.
Ashishaha,
benedictions. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki!
Even a moment's association with a pure devotee cannot be compared to being transferred to heavenly planets or even merging into the Brahman effulgence in complete liberation. For living entities who are destined to give up the body and die, association with pure devotees is the highest benediction.
We see throughout the Bhagavatam so many illustrations of what is proper shelter, where to get real shelter. Now, for a true servant of the Lord, shelter means in the right source, because there's so many fields of shelter that we can take.
It can be in amelioration, material sense gratification, money, wealth, prestige, all these things. But this verse is indicating where real shelter is. And that is actually in the association of devotees, the association of a mahatma, association with a pure devotee. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the famous verse in the Madhya Lila, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Koi, Lava Mantra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. The benediction is given there that all perfection is achieved by the association. A Lava Mantra, 11th of a second of a pure devotee of the Lord. Now this verse is speaking about one commentary by Srila Prabhupada Sarasvati, how those persons who have turned their back on that relation are interested in this principle of becoming one with the Supreme, or ultimately the principle of nirguna nirakar, that actually my desire is that I want to put the Supreme, there is no Supreme, I want to become the Supreme. You see, it's described how, due to material attachment, the last snare of material existence is actually this impersonal feature. Because the jiva, having gone through so many material relationships, experienced so many embarrassments in relations. It's quite interesting, because then what happens is, then let me get rid of relationships altogether. I was some years ago when I was in, this was in Taipei and Taiwan, and we had visited a retreat. At that time, we were thinking about how to develop retreats for preaching in the West, in this point, New Zealand. And we went to one Buddhist retreat to get a perspective of how they bring in new people. In those parts of the world, people will go on vacation, and due to ultimate too much material intoxication, they go to retreat to get grounded once again. Boga Tiag. So then we went there, and we met this one monk, very nice monk, American monk. He had performed tapasya for 25 years there, and he would spend time in a hut in meditation. And between the hut and the stairs of the hut was 1 inch, so no centipedes or unwanted creatures could come in and disturb the yogi's meditation. Very nice place. I hear, for example, the new land we have between here and Radhakund, there'll be various huts for sadhus to escape the big city. And have you been there, Maharaj, to see that? So then this devotee revealed his experience that one time the local people have their own radio music, and he'd been doing his tapasya, his upasana, so there's another form of worship, but because the upasana was filled with void, because the Buddha never really spoke about relationships, and in this way he has been practicing negation. I'm fried, I'm frustrated with all these material relations. Let me simply ignore all that. So after 21 years of meditation, he hears this old song he used to hear in the 60s. Of course, I've told this before, and it's not my favorite song, so I don't have it memorized. Someone can correct me. Sometimes I've always, Maharaj, he actually said like this. But this song goes, it's a love song. And it says, "Oh, Laura, I love you, Laura, don't leave me," etc., etc., etc. And when he heard, after 21 years of performing tapasya, trying to negate relationships, all of a sudden he heard this song, and then he flashed back to his earlier days of relationships. So then tears came to his eyes. Oh, wow, what's this? I'm negating all this, and now I'm going back to the past. So it's interesting, this is an example that the Supreme has a particular veneer, a particular covering. And it's impersonal, just like Srila Prabhupada gives us the example of the sun rays
and the sun disk and the inner affairs of the sun, referring to the principle of the energy aspect of the Lord, or the Paramatma realization, understanding that the Lord is all-pervasive. The Lord is everywhere. He's within my heart. He's in every atom. Then, of course, the topmost realization is Bhagavan realization, where actually the Supreme has relationships, has dealings with his devotees. So in this way, it becomes very confusing for someone who negates what is natural. There's nothing wrong with relationships. It's just that we don't want to take shelter of perverted reflections of relationships on the spiritual platform. And that's where we get into trouble in the material field. Now, in the Upanishads, it's described that the Supreme Lord, he is a reservoir of sweetness. And it's also described how the devotees imbibe that sweetness. Now, in the fourth canto, chapter 3, text 1, there is a chapter 9, text 10. There's a very nice description where Dhruva Maharaj reveals the shortcomings of this focus in terms of Kaivalya. And because at this point in time, the Bhagavatam, Dhruva Maharaj is lamenting. Oh, I simply, Jai Ho, Shishi Gonitai Ki Jai, Shishi Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, Shishi Radha Samasundar Ki Jai. Dhruva Maharaj is lamenting. Oh, why did I go after a kingdom like my father's? Why did I go after these material things? Because when we began speaking, it's where he took shelter in the wrong things. Even Narada Muni, his guru, came. Don't worry about this. Just go back home. You're too young to bother with these things. But no. A.K., I have to get it. I need it. So then Narada Muni gave instructions where to go and meditate. And then finally the Lord revealed, gives a momentary darshan. And then, oh no, I've been going for broken glass all this time. Of course, can you imagine the mood of this monk? 21 years, tapasya, all these austerities, and all of a sudden, he's going back way to the past where there was some reality in terms of relationship, loving relations. Of course, those types of perverted reflections of spiritual relation is simply an exchange of emotions and secretions that can bind one in this world. So it's a very nice shloka that Dhruva quotes, which refers to this illusory activity or the phantasmagoria of wasting one's efforts in wanting material affairs. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Naro Dhyatina Manyogo Yasanyam Dharma Evacha Nasvadya Yastapo Tyago Neshta Portam Dadakshina Vritani Yagna Chandamsi Tirtani Nimamayana Yatarda Runde Satsanga Sarva Sangha Pamo Pimam. That is describing here that actually, my Lord, the transcendental bliss derived from meditation upon your lotus feet is so unlimited that it is far beyond the stage of Brahman, Brahmananda, wherein one thinks himself merged in the impersonal Brahman as one with the Supreme. Since Brahmananda is also defeated by the transcendental bliss derived from devotional service, then what to speak of the temporary blissfulness of elevating oneself to the heavenly planets, which is ended by the separation sword of time. Although one may be alleviated or elevated to the heavenly planets, he falls down in due course. So Dhruva is lamenting here for someone who is emphasizing one's interests in this nirguna, nirakar, a formless aspect of the Supreme. There is no relation. There is a sense of disembodiment. It's kind of like if you have an astronaut in space And oftentimes they'll go out from the space capsule and they're encaged within some suit because their body cannot survive within the astral space. And they simply float around. That there is no relationship with the surroundings. It's a sense of complete displacement. So in this way, it's very lamentable for persons, because Prabhupada Saraswati is saying this is simply a hellish situation for a devotee, for someone to want to aspire towards this impersonal aspect. Now in the third canto, Lord Brahma, he gives a description. Yeah, I can blame that Lord Brahma now. In the ninth chapter, text 1, Lord Brahma makes it very clear that actually I feel sorry. I have performed so much tapasya. I have performed so many austerities, but I feel sorry for those who are going after heavenly delights, those personalities who are embodied or disembodied. I feel sorry for those persons who do not understand you beyond this energy. So Lord Brahma is saying that yes, you're the creator. You're the personal aspect behind all creation. I feel sorry for those who neglect that. So in this way, it's a very much a natural scenery, like our spaceman and the spacesuit. It's a good analogy. Spaceman, spacesuit. Floating around. You can't even drink your sweet rice. Somehow or another, if they give him some sweet rice in the middle of the helmet, and nothing works in this relation. So the four Kumaras are examples of those who had full realization of Brahmananda, but they had access to another activation of the Supreme. They smelt the lotus, the tulsi from the feet of the Lord. They were able to smell the incense offered to the Supreme. And because, as described in the Upanishads, that taste was so great, it was so different. And then they had the adhikar to progress towards that impersonal feature to understand the full picture, the personal feature also. Supreme is impersonal, but also personal. They're both interrelated, the energy and the energetic source. So in this way, we can understand the importance of trying to follow this process as described in this purport, that we have to take shelter of a pure devotee. We have to take shelter of an associate of the Lord. And in this way, we realize the most unique field, because we're speaking about a land of relationships, that the Supreme Lord is the embodiment of bliss, and that the devotees of the Lord also embody that bliss of the Supreme. This is quite a unique feature. The jiva, however the jiva has been sent here, whether directly by the Lord, we see in so many examples of great souls who descend directly or sent by the Lord, or ordinary jivas who are regaining or awakening their Krishna consciousness through the various processes of devotional service, that there's various features that are available. That the fact that if you look in the mirror and you see a material body, you know you've made a wrong turn somewhere. So having drawn these particular bodies, Yantrarudani Maya, we can use those bodies to awaken our Krishna consciousness. What an amazing vessel. That for a jiva who is forgetful, who is awarded a body made of bile, mucus, and air, even if you're encaged in a body of bile, mucus, and air, you know you've made a wrong turn. There's been a misuse of independence. So in this way, even as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, we're simply making the best use out of a bad bargain. So in that way, think about that. That even though we have been forgetful of the Supreme, And by the arrangement of the Lord, by the arrangement of Antaryami, the Lord in the heart, by the arrangement of providential arrangement, we come in contact with the bona fide spiritual guide, the external manifestation of Antaryami, the Lord in the heart, to get direction. Then all of a sudden, you're in a transit lounge. In Delhi, you go to the train station, you're there for a few hours, you catch the train and go. Or if you're an international traveler, you have more money, you can fly by plane. They have what's called transit lounges in all the airports. The transit lounge is a temporary area where you find your next flight. You can't leave that, you can't leave the terminal, etc. There's a certain limitation, there's a restriction. So in a sense, we have been given a transit lounge in this material world of sadhu sangha. And in that way, we're given an understanding of how to come to a spiritual platform. Because it's most unique. We have become so forgetful, but by the mercy of the Supreme, we, as parts and parcels, can become embodiments of the Lord's sweetness. There's a transformation. We can see Srila Prabhupada's genius, which has been presented by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, initiated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This process of distribution. Distribution means transformation of heart, transformation of consciousness. And we see that within this fields of transformation of consciousness or distribution, we see there are various sampradayas which emphasize different approaches to do just those ends. But the beauty of this is that devotee association. And the devotee association is what can change the heart of the jiva. Of course, the devotee cannot, on his own strength, do anything. Probably gives the example of what can the caboose do without the connection of the locomotive? Of course, the locomotive is Krishna. Krishna, he turns on within our heart. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. He gives that intelligence and surrender. But Krishna uses his devotee. And we see an example of Srila Prabhupada, the most recent glorious example of how Prabhupada used his mind, body, and words to glorify Krishna. Even as a small child, small Rath Yatras in Calcutta, full-on Rath Yatra chariot, then his whole life trying to create some sort of a business to support future preaching, having things taken away, yasyanam anugrami, hadisyetanam shanai. Can you imagine? You had worked for an entire Gita, and someone who's very close to you sells it for some chai. You go on the train, chai, chai, biscuit, walkman, walkman. Someone gives you a Bhagavad Gita that you worked so hard away. But of course, the pure devotee sees in a sense of complete arrangements. And the elder years, Prabhupada traveling to the West, so many austerities. But through this tapasya, 1 year in New York, and apparently no results, here is a Shaktivesh avatar who's been sent by Krishna, who Krishna himself inspired, was by his side as he wrote the Bhaktivedanta purports, that someone who performed so much austerities, but he always glorified the Lord in all happiness and distress. He always glorified the Supreme. Heart attacks, glorifying the Supreme. And what does Krishna do in turn? He glorifies his devotee. Yes, as is described in the Gita, not even a blade of grass moves without higher sanction. The devotee never feels that he's a doer in all situations. But the Lord will bless his surrendered part and parcel. The part and parcel who has a willing sense of submission. The Lord empowers that person. The Dhammi Buddhi Yogam Tam, he gives intelligence.
So then there is a transcendent relationship between the servant and the Lord. Here this verse is speaking about the importance of sadhusanga, the importance of devotee association. How to increase that appreciation is to always act in such a way to give pleasure to the Lord. How to act in such a way to be an instrument on behalf of the Lord. Now, in the fourth canto, there's a very nice verse which describes, actually the 11th canto, and this is a discussion where Lord Krishna is speaking to Dhruva. I know he's speaking to Uddhava. And it's the 11th canto, chapter 12, text 1 through 2. So the Supreme Lord is just glorifying the pure devotees. He says to Uddhava, "The Supreme Personality of God has said, my dear Uddhava, by associating with my pure devotees, one can destroy one's attachment for all objects of material sense gratification. Such purifying association brings me under the control of my devotee. One may perform a Stanga Yoga system, engage in philosophical analysis of the elements of material nature, practice nonviolence and other ordinary principles of piety, chant the Vedas, perform sacrifices, penances, take the renounced order of life, execute sacrificial performances and dig wells, plant trees, and perform other public welfare activities, give in charity, carry out severe vows, worship the demigods, chant confidential mantras, visit holy places, or accept major and minor disciplinary injunctions. But even by performing such activities, one does not bring me under his control." So the Upanishads and the Bhagavatam made it very clear about the devotees of the Lord. Actually, the devotees of the Lord are greater than God. Every day we sing, Sakshat darit venasam asa shastra ukta sata bhavyata eva sabhi. Sakshat darit vena. Sakshat directly, hari. Samasta shastra, all the scriptures confirm this point. Ukta, it is said, the pure devotee is a mercy manifestation of the Supreme Lord. This is how we can see. This is how the Lord views the situation. This is how the pure devotees view the situation, that the devotee is greater than God. Why? Because his capacity of mercy, his capacity of compassion. It's like for those who are mothers who have a child, and the first time when a child begins to walk, I look over in the corner of the translation, I'm always speaking quickly, so slow, that the mother has a fond relation with the child. Now, a mother may be very expert. She can dress very nicely. She may be very creative. She may be very intelligent at designing or speaking. Some of these wonderful qualities are there. But the child who's fully dependent on the mother, child may be just learning to walk. A little toddler will turn over or begin to walk two steps and fall, and then get up again. Walk three steps, five steps, then someday begin to run. But because of the equipment around the child, there is this quality of dependency, there's a quality of surrender, which in a sense makes the child superior to the mother, because the mother has it all together, has everything figured out. But the child is fully dependent. Komana acharat pragya. Prahlad Maharaj describes, actually the process should be begun from the very early age of childhood. Because we develop a sense of simplicity. We develop a sense of independence. And this becomes most attractive. So in this way, we can see how the devotees are so dear. And Prabhupada in England said, was in New York City, this was one that, you know, they had a big hall program and no one came. They rented a whole hall. In the early days, you'd have hall. But no one came, only a few persons.
devotees are feeling bad. Oh, Prabhupada, forgive us. We made all these arrangements and no one came. And Prabhupada, what? You did not see? Lord Shiva was there? Another arrangement. You did not see? Narada Muni was there?
Because these celestial personalities, they come. They're inspired by such personalities like Prabhupada. And Prabhupada on another occasion said, you never know who's sitting next to you. It could be Narada Muni. Be careful. So you look around, you know. Hey, Narada, wake up. No. Samahatma Sadurlabha. The devotees are very rare souls. So according to the Shastras, that someone who takes shelter of the Supreme Lord becomes most rare. This purport in the ending part is indicating the power of devotee association. And he's speaking about those who, Prabhupada is speaking about those who are immersed in material attachment can become purified by such a society, by such a society that Prabhupada has given us. So in this way, we have to honor how Krishna is Sarvagata. He's all-pervading. This is the beauty of different services of distribution. And I would say, to a heart, as far as experience in the sense of the book distribution, very powerful service of actually trying to see the common denominator with those persons that you meet. Prabhupada said, you distribute books your whole life, the hand that reaches out can be blue. You have to place yourself in the shoes of the persons you meet. In other words, you're searching for Krishna. It's a loss when we go out in preaching work, or we maybe do various forms of Sankirtan activity, chanting the holy names, or there may be some field of making some income to facilitate the preaching, but we treat the devotees in the temple differently. Like there was one difficulty in one monastery, and all the friars went to the head monk. What is our problem, O Father? We're not making new recruits. So then he said, you simply treat, you treat all of each one of you as the next Messiah. Especially being in Braj is quite a mystical place. You never know who, and according to the Shastra, you never know, especially Brajvasi children at various ages, you never know who. According to Shastra, this is actually different forms of Radha and Krishna. That's why Prabhupada said, you come to Vrindavan, spend 3 days until you learn the consciousness of service. And then the problem, same purport, says, unless you have some service. So for many devotees here are spending full time to be charged to inspire others, or spend a short period to return to your various preaching fields. But it's important that we understand, we value this principle of how to see how the devotees are actually an embodiment of Krishna's mercy. Because especially being in a place like Braj, if you do not at least try to see Krishna everywhere in the hearts of all personalities, then you can make an offense. Because if you deal with the wrong person in the wrong situation, then you can make a great offense. Just like some years ago, there was one Brahmin right behind Krishna Balaram Mandir. He was a very elevated devotee of the Lord. So one sadhu, his guru, told him, if you go behind this building at like 9 o'clock in the morning, you will see some cows. And then you'll see a very beautiful coward boy. Grab him. That will be Sri Hari. So he had faith in his guru and he went behind, right behind here. And he saw the cows coming.
And then he saw this beautiful coward boy. And of course, this is, you know, this not to take this cheaply, but he grabbed that boy. And he said, "I will not. I will not let you go." Well, Mother Yashoda, who can bind the Lord? So this devotee, very elevated, but unless you show me your form, and that form of the Lord revealed his form to that devotee right here. And even though I know one devotee, I mentioned this man in the previous class, but it's a good repeat. You weren't there. Huh. So then one devotee very close, he does Giriraj Prikrama every single day and sometimes twice a day. Janmashtami or big appearance day, three times a day. He used to be able to do that. But lately he's focusing more and reading, and he's doing a lot of compiling on behalf of the BBT, writing various slokas like that. Anyways, some of the residents, he lives in Radhakund, would say, "We never see you on Parikrama anymore." But then he would occasionally meet persons, because he does Madhukari, goes and begs alms to the various parts, and he would do that, and then after he'd do his Giriraj Parikrama, he would take his meal. So there was one period of 25 days, he only took a little prasad, real focus, real renunciation, and he met some persons he used to do Madhukari at. And they said, "Well, you're coming... You're coming to our house every single day." I mean, he has a beard, you know, he only looks like him. "You're coming, taking Madhukari to our house every single day." Do the spiritual mathematics. Braj is unlimited. And Krishna can come in various forms and take service from his various devotees, because these Brijvasis, they're very dear. So they cannot give some gift to the someone doing Parikrama, so then I'll come myself. We cannot understand the power of this Krishna consciousness process. We cannot minimize it. That what is before us is actually a veneer. There is a covering. And due to identifying with the covering or with the body or with opulence around from the body, in the third canto, Narada Muni himself comes to Pratetas. Actually, it's fourth canto, and that's next chapter, chapter 31. Narada Muni is saying to the Pratetas, he is glorifying that actually the greatness of association with a pure devotee of the Lord is that he can train you how to control God. It's not that we want to control God, but the point Narada Muni is making, the power of bhakti, the power of devotion. When Kali Yuga had set in, Narada Muni was doing a parikrama all over the world, and he was seeing that all these religious principles were gone. The Himalayan mountains, the different yogis were after money. They weren't after renunciation anymore. Religious principles had been undermined. So he was seeing everything was gone. He was traveling throughout India, but he finally came to Braj. And that's when he saw a very beautiful lady. And she was very youthful, very attractive. And then he saw next to her were two old personalities, two old men. So then Narada Muni asked the identity, "Who are you, young woman? Who are you?" She described that, "I am bhakti, I am devotion. And these are my sons, old men, jnana and vairagya. Renunciation and knowledge. But they've become old in the age of Kali. But bhakti, by the grace of the Dham, had become very young." She said, "I too became too old. I could not walk." But when I came to Braj, then my youth returned. So then Narada was thinking, well, what is this? Jnana and Vairagya, what is their problem? So then he chanted various mantras, glorification of the Vedas, chanted into their ear. You know, get up, Jeev Jago, get up. And they didn't move. So in this way, Narada was wondering what to do. And that's when the four Kumaras came and gave direction. Give them some medicine. Allopathic? Ayurvedic? Nah. What medicine do they need? Actually, originally a voice came from the sky, do pious works. And then the four Kumaras said, they should make sure they hear the Srimad Bhagavata. Hear about Krishna's his pastimes, his activities. And in this way, when Narada recited the Srimad Bhagavatam, they came to life and regained their youth, renunciation, and knowledge. So it's by that association we can come to the higher platform. Because we have to understand, sadhu sangha means going beyond the external veneer. You look at the dom, and there's so much dust, and there are pigs, polyurethane bags. It's nice we have the sign back there, free Braj from, or free Vrindavan from polyurethane bags. That we have a polyurethane consciousness which pervades. That the process is actually to understand we have to go beyond the externals, beyond the veneer. And this is what a pure devotee teaches us. This is what a pure sangha teaches us. That if you have, and the Shastra describes a holy place as a place where there is kata, as a place where there is devotee association, and thirdly, a daily festival. So Krishna Balaram Mandir Ki. Perfect facility. And as Prabhupada says, these temples are like bases to fight Maya. What a base to inspire the devotees to return, to travel throughout the world. So in this way, we have to go beyond the veneer. Because as we were explaining earlier, just like the impersonal feature, it's a veneer. The sun rays is a veneer. The inner affairs, the identity of the sun god. The impersonal aspect is a veneer, a covering. It's a reality, but it's a covering in relationship to the inner aspects of the supreme Brahman, the form of the Brahman, who appears and disappears, who has various agents who appear and disappear, like Narada Muni, such a transcendental character. The devotees are sent. They're with us for some time, and they disappear. This is like tempering, softening the heart. We live in union, and we serve in separation. Krishna, when he was in Dwarka, here's an example where everything goes right around him. Everything's figured out. And everyone's worshiping him in great awe and reverence. You are the king. All respect. But Krishna, Dwarkadish, his side meditation will be just simply looking at the marble statues of cows in his palace. Because he would go back to his pastimes and Braj of the intimate relationships with his devotees. Just like you remember when it was a Rohini was describing the pastimes of the Lord for the queens of Dwarka, and there's Krishna, Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, Krishna, Balaram, Subhadra's guarding the door. Don't let anybody in. We don't let Krishna, Balaram, you know, keep him, you know, outside. And Subhadra, she was listening to these wonderful, sweet pastimes of Krishna's youth. How Mother Yashoda was so overwhelmed with love for her child, whether she's looking at clay in the mouth She becomes mesmerized. Oh my goodness, the consciousness changed. Is this the Supreme Brahman? Is this the Supreme Lord? And then Krishna changes everything. No, let that go. She could never see him as her child. How is it possible the greatest yogis cannot meditate on the Supreme Lord? And they tried to for millions of years, and here she is chasing after him. Damodar, with a stick, holding the stick. Oh, you've broken so many pots of yogurt. Krishna likes his milk. Don't disturb the Lord and his milk. So he got very angry, breaking the pots and then running. And then she finally captures the Supreme. How can you capture the Supreme Brahman? Not possible. But Prabhupada said, impossible is a word in the fool's dictionary. By that priti purvakam, by that loving and devotion. Krishna, okay, you can bind me. But he wasn't through. So she got a rope, two finger widths too short. And then another, tied more, all the gopis, villages, bringing their ropes. How do you figure that out? And such anxiety. It's described in the Bhagavatam how the flowers are falling from her hair. She's sweating. And this even made her more beautiful. So then finally, Krishna, okay, she saw devotees, so much anxiety. Krishna revealed, gave her access to bind him. Then he goes on to the next Leela, Manigriva and Nalakuvera. But how is it that the Supreme can be controlled in this way? And Narada Muni is saying, potatoes, that devotional service is so powerful that it can completely control the Lord. This is the perfection of the process. But on the way, there are so many allurements. Danger, as Prabhupada says in the Gita, dangers on the royal roads. Now, there's two different types of maya, the yoga maya and mahamaya. Mahamaya refers to that energy which keeps the living entities bound within the material world for those who are not subservient, for those who are not surrendered. So there's so many examples of how when there's lack of shelter, then one becomes maya sukaya param uvido vimudha. One becomes a super fool. And there's a prapshipatmaka and avarnatmaka energy. It covers the living entity and throws the living entity. But throughout the Bhagavatam, we're reading different examples of how this moha or illusion exists with those intimate associates of the Lord. They're under the influence of yoga maya. Narada Muni becoming proud of his ability to conquer Cupid, and the Lord has that pastime, giving him monkey face. Four Kumaras cursing Jai and Vijay, becoming overly angry. Jai and Vijay stopping the four Kumaras from entering Vaikuntha. Sati, the wife of Lord Shiva, saw how Lord Shiva is paying his respects to a mere mortal human being. This personality they call is Ramachandra. It's interesting in that whole pastime when Lord Shiva, his desire is to serve Lord Ram. And this is right after that Sita has been taken by Ravana. So Lord Ramachandra is going throughout the forest in complete separation from his Lord, his better half, Sita. And then Sati, she was thinking, how is it that he's like an ordinary human being? He's worried about his wife in this way. But Lord Shiva paid his respects to Lord Ramachandra and he was smiling. Actually, he was in great ecstasy because he had the vision of the Lord as here he comes in his human-like pastimes for our benefit, in order to show us what attachment is all about. And here the Supreme Lord, who's never separated, but he manifests this leela of separation, to engage us. So Lord Shiva is so such an ecstasy. He is smiling at seeing Lord Ramachandra and such anxiety. So in this way, Sati could not see that. And then she made the bold attempt. She disobeyed her husband. This could not be God. Not possible. So then Lord Shiva understood there was some abhiman there. There was some false pride. So then, okay, you go test, like the small fly before, you know, like the flame. You go test the Supreme. And she went and in disguise as Sita. And the Lord says, oh, Sati, where is your husband, Lord Shiva? Ooh. Then, because she's a personification of material energy, very empowered. But then she realized, oh. So strike one, she disobeyed her husband, Lord Shiva, who was a good husband, was connected, who gave proper advice. And secondly, she tried to challenge the Supreme. And then Lord Shiva said, the only way that you can, because of Lord Shiva, you took the form of Sita, now I have to see you as my mother. It's not very good for a husband to view his wife as mother. It's not going to work out so well. So Sati was going crazy. But then Lord Shiva, then finally the Daksha Yagna and Lord Shiva said, don't go. Third time, she went. But he said before that, for you to associate with me, you need a new body. So that whole Leela happened, where Sati, she burned her body. And then she took birth as Parvati. But she got it. She got together this time. She took shelter from her husband, Lord Shiva, in a real shelter, like initiation. And in that way, through that association, she overcame a embarrassing situation. So that moha can exist in the highest circles, that moha on the limited platform of externals is on the bottommost circles. We have to go beyond that. We have to go beyond these external aspects. That's why it's prescribed when we chant the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We are meant to hear. And through by hearing the mood of seva, then we're given all kinds of association, which we can actually come to this higher platform. So in this way, we can take our temperature. Are we on that platform of real association? And you study that if we look, a real devotee of a Lord does not discriminate, does not find fault, has the emotion of seeing Krishna everywhere. That is the nature of a Matpara devotee of a Lord. That is the nature of a true acharya. Of course, the Uttama Adhikari on the topmost platform will come down, but he'll make distinctions. He won't discriminate. When I use the word discriminate, I mean undermine, find fault. Because Krishna's everywhere. He'll focus on the good qualities. And this is Srila Prabhupada's genius. He saw the good. Even in the first initiation, he just spoke in terms of adding the chanting, dancing, feasting. Then initiation time, oh, by the way, there are a few regular principles you have to follow. Wah, ha, no more. So Prabhupada had a brilliant vision of how to present Krishna consciousness according to time and place. But you see, due to our samskaras or our previous habits, we develop attachments towards external fields. Male body, female body, American body, this and that. And we bring, as his purport's describing, Prabhupada's exact words are, a person who is overly affected materially may take advantage of this movement and become intimately associated with it. In this way, the confused and frustrated inhabitants of this material world may find the highest happiness in association with devotees. That though we have all come from different backgrounds, I mean, you look at materially speaking, we have so many persons, doctors, lawyers, engineers, simple, non-business personalities. Would we all be together on a material level if there wasn't that center, that one before the zeros of Krishna? This is another beautiful feature of this society, of this movement. Not only is it international society, but you have so many persons. So we may make some noise in the cooking in the kitchen, but the job is to make offerings and seva through the parampara and to develop this division of a matpara devotee of the Lord, to go beyond distinctions. That is the problems we see, whether it's within our particular society or within the between the different sampradayas, because we begin to make distinctions, or discrimination, thinking others in a lesser level. The Vedas prescribe three levels of material freedom. First, there is bhav. Bhav refers to one actually placing one's energies. Two, I've become a sadhu, I've become a devotee, I'm following various rules and regulations. And the next level is jadabhav, where one renounces the identification with the body. The six mental faults, in terms of anger, illusion, all these different features, these mental faults, one renounces those. That's the next highest level. But ultimately, the lever we want to go for is called sudradabhav, where one does not make distinctions. One does not make discriminations. The distinction can be there, but we honor all in all directions. The residence of, is described in the Shastra, if you look at the residence of Puri, all forearm forms. We want to see in a deeper light, going beyond these external aspects, and what are the internal aspects? So this is the topmost position, a motion to see Krishna everywhere and not to discriminate. And in this way, we gain access towards the internal aspects of the Lord. How the Lord's leelas, beyond Dwarka, Krishna's happy to be in Braj, to be chastised by his devotees, to be corrected by his devotees. Krishna is relishing that if I want to get some chach, some buttermilk, then I have to dance. The gopis say, if you simply dance some, we'll give you some chach. He likes to be controlled. And this is the power of Braj. And this is the power of those great devotees who introduce us to these pastimes. And we finally come to that reality that actually the devotees, because of their position, their proportionate degree of submissiveness to the Supreme Lord, the devotees, we treat them as greater than God. Then you are on the expressway to spiritual realization. And in that express train, you'll be empowered to bring others with you. So this is what we can see from today's verse. To renounce these impersonalistic approaches, to take shelter of the devotees of the Lord, and take shelter of the process of an institutional, which provides the current of bhakti. And then you will see how Krishna will use me as a via media, as a vessel of extending bhakti in the lives of others, to empower even me to activate bhakti in the lives of others. Krishna is doing all the arrangements. He's doing the ultimate activation activity, but he's using us. So in this way, let us go for the highest position. And this way we can take the best use of devotee association. So I will stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Okay. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Jai Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki. Guru Premanand. Oh, thank you. Wow. Harishnam.